I think Muslims and non-Muslims together, and I say, let's come to dialogue, and then we sit there on the table like here, and telling non-Muslims, we are now engaged in dialogue, and you people should understand that your religion is false, your beliefs are wrong, your books are distorted, and my only duty in this dialogue is to show you that falsehood and inviting you to the powerful Islam. Of course, you can get a huge crowd, very willing to listen to you, willing to you. This is the kind of thing that really we should be. إِنَّا أَوْيَقَ الْأَتَعْصِيمِ that I'm giving from the Qur'an itself. Which means I should be open. He wants to talk about Trinity, welcome, no problem. Trinity versus the Islamic concept of Tawheed. You know that's right, but you don't tell him, you're wrong. You say, either Trinity or Tawheed is the proper understanding about that. But let us discuss. Openness. And then if objective discussion leads to some conclusion or the other, you're open to that. See how much responsive would people be if not listening approach. All right, let's discuss it. Okay, even in some essential matters like this. Patience. I know sometimes people get uptight when a non-Muslim asks you a question that you feel offended. When you say, Muhammad, for example, oh, he did this and he did that, you know. A person might be asking the question innocently. Maybe expecting him to be more respectful, but maybe that's the way he was taught about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maybe your prophet was copying from the Bible. Maybe your prophet was doing that in order to do this or that or to achieve this or that. Be patient. Be patient. Don't get upset about it. It takes a lot of control and we're not always successful, including the Sufi himself, but we try, inshallah, to be as patient as possible. And never two things. One, never try to justify what Muslims are doing that is wrong. We are not obligated as Muslims to defend any individual Muslim or group or a state simply because they are Muslim if they do something that is wrong Islamically. And we have to make clear that Islam is one thing, attitude and action of Muslims is different. The two are not identical. They can come close or far, they can be small gap, big gap, but you don't have to defend anyone who's doing wrong. Where do you get that? From the Quran. That you should tell the truth, even if it be against your own interest or your close kin. Justice with the aim of the Quran speaks about. So this is something that you have to be transparent. And finally, in any discussion, the attitude should not be just victory. Victory. Or trying to demolish the other side. There may be only some instances when somebody is too arrogant perhaps, or too, where he or she might need to be put in their place, where sometimes, and that's why the ayah says, made an exception. In the best possible way, when it says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ except those women who transgress. When somebody starts using derogatory terms, sometimes, I'm not saying you should reciprocate in the same way, but it might require a stronger response that puts him in the proper place. But otherwise, it shouldn't be victory. It shouldn't be that you think that the person has listened to you, so you have to keep telling him, Islam, and Islam. No, give them time. Give them time. Give them some sort of feeling that they're not really totally losers. It's not a healthy, because Shaitan could come from that door and say, how come I was defeated? So he might insist knowingly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all, and I apologize for the length of what should have been much greater few comments that we'll have. Okay, that's the idea of the
less than we do in Romans 3 and Scripture, there's no doubt. So the reading that's just been on the front of it today.
The question basically is the case our sister didn't hear is that sometimes one-to-one da'wah might be difficult, and sometimes it's easier to have in a lecture or a format. And since, you know, we don't have many speakers with experience in every place, what can be done locally to improve? That's basically the question. Actually, there are lots of untapped resources. After September 11th, and I'm sure what I described in my city probably applies everywhere. We were flooded, as you have been, with requests to speak in churches, schools, clubs, teacher training, all kinds of, because it, you know, it hit home and many people were curious, what that religion, does religion teach this horrible thing, what is it exactly? As a result, some of those, you might say, the more experienced, few speakers, two or three in a given city, we're totally unable to handle all of that, especially they are also have their work, so they have to do that on their own time as well. It was impossible to meet all those requests. As a result, in every community, they were looking for people who have some basic knowledge, even though they have been exposed. And believe me, and I'm sure this happened here, you discover gyms, even people like, for example, university students, even high school students, mashallah, once they're put in that situation, they got the training. So as Muslims, we should rid ourselves from the notion of having a big hero or a few heroes that we should be doing all the work. We should get everybody involved. As a result, these people got experience. Maybe they need some polishing, but at least you discover that some people have good talent. They might have even better approach than some of those, you know, relatively more senior type of speakers. So this is one suggestion, to find out those with some kind of aptitude towards Dawah, having workshops for them, and there is an important resource that we haven't tapped properly. Our brothers and sisters who came from Christian background, they can educate us a lot about what the common beliefs are. Being also more exposed, having been born here, they might give you some angles also as to how to approach. I'm not saying everyone, but at least collectively, if we work together, somebody might make a remark, somebody can share an experience, and this way we can build up on our local resources. And then once in a while, if you invite Brother Shakir or something for a special, you know, session, how to deal with difficult questions or other aspects, at least you start locally. And I'm sure, inshallah, if you give attention to that, it would be very nice. And by the way, one of the techniques that could be used is what you use in management sometimes, management training. The case study. It's in medical studies also. The case study is always very relevant. You assign a brother to give a talk and you say, you've got 10 minutes to speak about this topic. And let them get training, a brother or sister. And then after they finish, then you should be open to criticism. What were the strong points, the weaker points, how could they improve? Get people to take the actual field of giving a presentation.
Right.
Yeah. You heard the question? She said, if her mother, for example, is pro-Israeli, what should be her relationship with her? Your relationship with your parents, who are not Muslims even, is guided by the Quran. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا سُورَةُ الْحِجْرَانِ سُورَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. That if your parents try to persuade you or take you away or lure you away from believing in Allah and trying to impress shirk on you, he says, don't obey them, but immediately say, but dwell with them or treat them kindly in this world. Because it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge. So the relationship, respect, love, to parents should not be affected by this. Secondly, whether even a person is a Muslim or not, a lot of people in this country are not aware of the reality of the situation in Palestine and the brutality committed against the Palestinian people. The Zionist propaganda for many, many decades in all media has been giving exactly the opposite of the truth, that these are innocent people who are surrounded by hostile militant killers who just want to murder them and throw them in the sea. So perhaps a possibility here would be to provide material, arguments face to face, especially from a daughter, you know, who are you, I know that if one can try to get some materials that give documentation, and there are some books available, I think Ismail Zayed, a fellow from our city, has written a couple of books on the subject, and actually in a present they print 25,000 smaller booklets that give the history and documentation. Is very good in terms of his experience on that. In other words, having material like this perhaps might gradually change attitudes, inshallah.
I think
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's an important question, so I will answer quickly. But it's a very, very important one. The question basically... Okay. The question basically is that some Christian was telling him that, all right, they start playing this caste problem, and we talk about love. How about the Quran? Show me where it says that. First of all, the notion is not always the best way. It's just like, which someone who tells his wife, I love you, I love you, I love you, so every day, but doesn't treat her well, versus someone who once a day or once a month, his actions reflect that love. So when we speak about love, yes, there are mention of even more inclusive love. For example, there are two places in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as Wadood. And Wadood is not only loving, actually. The most intensive form of love is Wadood. It's a stronger form of expression. The mutuality of love is mentioned in the Quran also. They describe the two believers that they are ashaddu hubba lillah, more intense in their love of Allah. The Quran furthermore goes to give criteria for the love of Allah by following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran speaks very clearly on that. But more importantly, there is also other words in Arabic, since you claim to know Arabic, that convey the same meaning also. Wud, the word wud, like from which come mawadda, is also a form of love, like we read in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدًّا, that those who believe and have righteous deeds, Allah will make for them love, especially. Furthermore, what is more important? Whether we speak about love of Allah to us, or our love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to repeat it every second word. The entire mention in the Quran about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for human beings, creation of the human bounties that He gave them on earth and all of this, these are all expressions of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to keep using the word love, it is the practical manifestation. And when we speak about our obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ibadah and dhikr and all of this, it is also the other side of love, or our love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But playing those games, I remember once somebody said, oh, look, Paul, in one single sentence, three lines, he mentioned the word love so many times. I said, so what? Again, I love you, I love you, I love you, but what does it mean? It's the manifestation of that love in the entire structure of the Quran. Allah.
There is something that, with your permission, Dr. Zaman, the issue of love is creating a problem with the Christians, because this is what they are banking on. Okay, this is the bank you know, asset. So, and they hate to hear the fact. The fact is the Quran many times it repeats the word Allah loves more than any other faith. But loves whom? Loves the Muslimin, loves the Muttaqeen, right? The Sabreen, and they don't want to comply. They want him to love anybody who don't. Okay? The unconditional blind love, which God never gave to anybody. Okay? So the issue is ask, you look in the Quran, you will find several, hundreds of references. Allah loves those who do this, Allah loves those who do that. Right? And the reciprocation is very clear. But even in the Quran, you'll find those that Allah doesn't like. Allah doesn't like liars, doesn't like cheaters, doesn't like those who spread corruption and mischief on earth. Right? So ask them, why should this bother you that he doesn't like these people and is making a list of people that he loves? Why should this not, you know, be
tiresome? By the way, also, sometimes I don't care very much. God loves the sinner, God loves the even person. What they mean is caring and provision. And even the Quran will find Allah as the Prophet is saying that if the whole world was a woman's life, in the sight of Allah, he would have not given a drink of water to those who defy. So a person defies Allah and reject Allah, and Allah says, love in that sense, consent. All right, I'll give you water, I'll give you air to breathe, I'll give you chance to repent, I welcome you with open arms if you come back to me. So even if so the dislike of Allah is not for the person himself, it's actually, it refers to the view, the character of being zalim or fasiq or corrupt. So here even cares is there.
نعم يا أخي الصلاة نعم بعد ما حصل الصلاة على طول